Hey, everybody. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, KVOI.com. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And happy Mother's Day to my wonderful wife, mother of my two children, Rachel. Hope you're having a great day. You said you were so far. And make sure that you are respecting and celebrating your mom today. I'm really blessed because I ended up with three moms. Started with no moms. I was an orphan, and then I was adopted by a wonderful lady, Beverly Prather, who has since passed. And then my wonderful wife found my birth mom, Valerie Dome, later on. And then I got a mother-in-law, still around. So life is always getting better and changing, and mothers are so responsible for that. So make sure you're honoring your mom today. So a lot to cover today. And I was at church today, and there was a lady saying, oh, I'm loving the show. Just heard from Maurice, a veteran, liking what I'm putting out. I hear that from all the time from law enforcement, both active and retired, and military and intelligence personnel, that they really appreciate what I'm doing. And I'm going to keep doing it. You know, I didn't start as a professional media person. I've always been, I was in art, but I've always been in the service area, in military, law enforcement, and intelligence. So this is how I see one way of serving now, is getting out the truth, because it is just ridiculous what is out there in the media. It's not even close to what's true. So it's also really important to support the sponsors of the show. And you can also always donate to the show. You can go to gogetfunding.com to the Prather Point. But also you should go into Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, perfectionautoworks.com, and see Mike Emery. And you should go into Diamondback Tactical and see Doug, and support those guys, because they are supporting me, and others are supporting me too. And that's really vital to keeping the truth out there, because I can tell you there is just no truth in the mainstream media. Although the media is starting to come around, because they have to on some things. But again, I always want to tell you the stuff that no one else is telling you. So the first thing I want to tell you is to remember Kendrick Castillo. Kendrick Castillo, in your prayers. He was killed in action. He was killed trying to tackle one of the shooters at the STEM school in Colorado. Now, for those of us in security, Columbine is where all this active shooter stuff begins. My friend Dave Grossman writes on killing. He became an expert on that. He's doing great stuff. Anybody in the profession, in the warrior profession, has probably heard him or read his books. And I've actually done both and actually got to do seminars with him. But it is very hopeful, because I just don't always want you to have to go to have a drink after I'm on the air. I've been on other stations where that's what the guys would say. Oh, there's hope. Things are changing. And, of course, Columbine is where the two kids started killing and hunting their classmates. And I show some of that footage when I'm teaching my Stop Active Shooter seminars, which I've done for a lot of schools and synagogues and churches in Tucson. And if you're interested in that, go to warriorschool.com. You can always email me at info@warriorschool.com for that. But when these two shooters came in to shoot, Kendrick Castillo jumped up and counterattacked the shooter and was killed trying to defend his classmates. Kendrick was a Hispanic American, a person of color, and he wanted to be a Marine. He wanted to serve in the military. He gave his life defending his classmates, and that is hugely significant. Then three other students tackled the shooters. And I'm sure you haven't heard this. I bet you haven't heard this, John. Yeah, you're not going to hear this. And here's why you're not going to hear this. Because that guy sacrificed himself, that young man, that hero, and we're all saying that. In the profession, those of us who have served, we're calling him a hero. And we don't do that lightly. And almost always you'll hear Medal of Honor recipients say, well, I'm not a hero. But we're calling him a hero. And it's universal in the profession, in the warrior profession. But the reason you're not going to hear it is because there were two shooters. One was a transgender, and the hair was half black, half purple, which is no big deal. You can have, I don't care what color you're. My martial arts master teacher in Japan, his hair is purple. Great guy. But it was a girl transitioning to a boy with all kinds of drugs to change that, and an anti-Christian, anti-Trump, Obama supporter, Democrat. Those were the two shooters. And that's why you're not hearing that, because it doesn't fit the script. And then I think you did hear, though, that when they had a vigil, the students had a vigil to mourn those wounded and killed, is the Dems got up there and started their usual gun confiscation script. And the students, the high school students, got up and walked out. That I have seen on mainstream media. And they got outside and they started chanting mental health, because it's really about mental health. It's not about gun control. Folks, the high school students are not buying in to the Democratic script anymore. So this is not about Trump and how bad Trump is. That's what you're hearing. It's about the Democratic Party disintegrating before our eyes. This is the death of the Democratic Party. Just like there was a Whigs Party. It's gone too. It is in its dying breath. And that's why you see them doing all these crazy things. So that's the first thing. Kendra Castillo, keep him in your prayers. Really important, really brave young man. And his family should be very proud. Next thing that I want to talk about is you need to call your congressman and your senators about H.R. House Resolution 5. It's called the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Interprotected Classes. And they're trying to file it under the 1964 Civil Rights Act and 1968 Fair Housing Act, which were good acts because those were allowing folks of color to vote and to have housing. But this bill is very evil because it obliterates liberty, equality, privacy, and safety concerns. It would empower the federal government to impose civil and criminal punishments on citizens who dissent from SOGI or S-O-G-I ideology, including medical professionals, parents, women, girls, businesses, and charities. The bill would violate the rights to freedom of conscience, religion, and speech. It would take away basic authorities of local communities to determine who is allowed in a single-sex facilities, whether biological men and boys are allowed to join women's and girls' sports teams. That's already ridiculous. But you're also having predators walk into girls' bathrooms as well. And it would empower the federal government to impose civil and criminal punishments on citizens who dissent from this SOGI ideology. Medicine would be politicized by forcing doctors nationwide to treat gender dysphoria according to recommendations by transgender activists. And this would also apply, all you Christians and parents with kids in Christian schools and Jews in Jewish schools, is this would apply to religious schools as well. So this is an evil bill. There's no budget. We haven't had a budget for like two decades. We can't control the border, but they want to pass transgender rules. And of course, you know, 80-90% of the people who think they're transgendered end up not being transgendered. And they got to have all kinds of drugs. They're trying to do that in the military. I don't know how you would deploy having all kinds of those drugs in the military. But that is really significant, and you need to vote that down and tell your representatives about that. So I want to make sure I got that out, but let me talk really briefly about Diamondback Tactical, Diamondback Shooting Sports. They are hands down Tucson's best gun store for all your shooting needs. I've trained shooters by the tens of thousands, and whatever my guys need, I send them to Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway. They have a full line of firearms, law enforcement, and tactical gear. I know the owner, Doug, personally. He's a great guy. They've been here for 20 years. Arizona Daily Star voted them best Tucson gun store 4 years in a row, right up to 2018. They're open 7 days a week. Diamondback Shooting Sports, 7030 East Broadway. And I'll be right back after this break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Back right with you in a second. Jeff Prather back with you on the Prather Point, 1030, KVOI.com, AM 1030, The Voice. So also remember to get into Perfection Auto Works as summer's coming and check your AC. It's critical to keep the compressors and components happy. Perfection Auto Works will check the entire system and charge the system if needed for only $69.95. And if there are leaks, they'll do you a free estimate. They did for me. Found out stuff that nobody else could find. That's real important as it heats up this summer. So go into Perfection Auto Works and see those folks, especially Mike Emery. He is a concerned, caring patriot. So something else that's really happening important is, of course, the propaganda press is now into a constitutional crisis. So that's the latest buzzword that all of the stations are saying. There's no constitutional crisis other than the fact that the Dems have been trying to bring about a soft coup. But Trump has no constitutional crisis. I'm losing count of how many dossiers there are. The Mueller report is a dossier, and we're going to get into that today on the dossier. And there are other dossiers, but these are all scripts. And again, I want to emphasize these are scripts because the socialist, communist, collectivist, whatever they are, they always have to have a script because reality never fits what is actually happening. And so they're going around scripts. So in my time, it was Fast and Furious, and that was the first, and that's how I started doing speeches and radio and TV. And that's when I noticed that the head of the DEA, consecutively Michelle Leonhardt and Karen Tandy, who I had worked with on my extradition of the first Mexican cartel drug leader, was destroying my case, stopping my extradition. That was the hardest part, and that would have changed everything. And well, then it eventually came out that in the Niebla-Zambada trial that the DEA, with them in that same time period, had, this is almost 10, 15 years ago now, a deal with the Sinaloan cartel to run drugs north. So the DEA had a deal to run drugs north. The ATF was running guns south in exchange. The guns were going to the Sinaloan cartel. The FBI was running the hit squad. So these government agencies, these executive branch government agencies, have for a long time become very independent. I know I knew the agents who would answer congressional investigations, but that's starting to change now. With new media, as old media dies. And the Dems are getting real nervous because this all goes back to Obama, and even Obama's attorney is getting real nervous. And that's why you hear Comey and Brennan, they no longer even sound like professionals. They just sound like scared leftists, which is what they are. But now they are also saying that they're going to hold Attorney General Barr in contempt. Well, you may remember that the Congress held Holder in contempt. Why did they hold Holder in contempt? I know exactly why, because I was involved in it, because Holder suborned perjury in writing and verbally on Fast and Furious. He said there was no Fast and Furious. Then he sent letters saying there was no Fast and Furious. When he testified, he said there's no Fast and Furious. When he sent letters, then he retracted the letter. This magically, I retract the letter. I don't know what that means. He signed affidavits that went for warrants. He also went after Rosen on Fox News and said, oh, he's a criminal co-conspirator, so we need to read his emails. And he said later, well, he's not. Well, that's perjury. He got away with it. So that was real contempt of Congress, and he should have been charged, and maybe he will. I don't know. But so what the Dems got to do now is they've done all of this evil criminal stuff. So they are trying to accuse Trump and the Trump administration of everything that they actually did. And that's what I learned the hard way is if you're a good guy doing the right thing and you get accused, they're actually doing it. I've actually told that to people now. So last time we did a big deep dive on the Mueller report, and we're going to keep going into that because this is a coup on our government. That's really important. But what you're hearing in the public media right now is in the mainstream media, rather, is, oh, Bill Barr, is we're going to hold him in contempt. Or maybe they even have. I don't even care because it's so illegitimate. There is no legitimacy to doing this. But the thing you got to remember about Barr, and so I've known some of these guys. I met Janet Reno. You know, I've been outside the Oval Office. I've been in the White House Situation Room. I have, you know, been around senior folks a lot. I used to stay outside the DNI's office a lot, Director of National Intelligence at Bowling. So, because I was kind of a mid-level boss up there. But Barr is the real deal. And you got to remember, the first thing is, this isn't Barr's first time as Attorney General. He was an Attorney General in 1991. Let that sink in. How long ago? This guy knows the ropes. He's the smartest guy in the room. He's just not going to be intimidated by this. So, you know, the news media is trying to say, oh, Barr, and he's terrible, and we're going to hold him in contempt. And maybe they have. I'm not even paying attention to that. But I just thought you'd like to know, because I've been to a lot of functions, high-level functions over the years. And like Holder, when Holder would make a speech, nobody would applaud. None of the law enforcement, because we all knew that about Fast and Furious, and we all knew how he was covering that up. And Fast and Furious resulted in the death of several of my law enforcement brethren, Brian Terry being the main one, Jaime Zapata with Customs down in Mexico, and then hundreds of others. But he'd walk on stage, and it would just be the suits up on the dice with him applauding. No applause. Obama, go to a military function. No applause, except for the generals. So Barr just had Rosenstein's farewell at DOJ, and the applause was thunderous. And I just thought I'd play you a little clip of how nervous Barr is about what's going on. And remember, I've said Rosenstein was probably playing the fence, but now he's flipped and he's leaving. And I talked to you about that speech he gave last time as he left, and the speech saying, hey, we've corrected all these abuses and we got to be impartial, not just what the news wants. And the news media was freaking out. So here's a little clip of Barr and how nervous Barr is about what's going on. All right, so this guy is not worried about Congress at all. This guy knows what he's doing. And you can tell, and this is really important for insiders, because the morale under the Obama administration in the DOJ has been terrible. Folks, I know these guys. I talked to these guys. I worked with them. The working special agents, whether it's DEA, ATF, FBI, they know what's going on. They know how terrible it is. And it's starting to change. You're hearing the thunderous applause. You're hearing the laughter. And you're hearing bars like, hey, who's got the more deadpan expression? Lots of applause. So this is a good thing, is we are going to get our institutions back under Barr, and he's going to pursue this. And he is not worried in the least about what these guys are doing, because they have no clue what they're doing. I've talked a lot about Comey, and Comey's going to be the first one to go down, I think. So from what I can tell, just because he just can't shut up. He just can't stop shooting himself in the head. So we've done a deep dive previously on how phony the dossier was, but I have also been talking about how phony Mueller is, and he's no good guy either, and I'm really going to get into that. And how Mueller knew that it was phony. And I'm not going to go over, because he got the stroke text, I'm going to go into something totally else, because I'm never going to tell you the same stuff every show. I'm going to tell you what no one else is telling you. And I'm going to tell you the truth, because you deserve it. And the justice system is a mess. Like, I'm sure you haven't heard that the Supreme Court Justice of West Virginia, because there are Supreme Courts in each state, was just convicted of federal crimes of perjury and lying. There was another judge, I think out of New York, who was just convicted. So the federal prosecutions, the assistant United States attorneys, U.S. attorneys, and the Attorney General of the United States, they're all starting to do their jobs and they're starting to go after all this corruption. And everybody is really, really scared. I told you about how Schiff was meeting with Glenn Simpson as late as last year. But things are starting to change. Things are starting to look up. So I'm not going to get it. I'll probably get to this next show, but having worked in the intelligence field and also in the federal law enforcement field, remember that Panopoulos and these guys were approached overseas. Remember I said this last time. I said, this isn't just the FBI. This has got to be the CIA because outside the country, the FBI has a limited role. The FBI is a law enforcement agency. I was on DEA's International Law Enforcement Agency when I was on SNOCAP. So I'm saying that this stuff is tied into the intelligence community as well, and that Ms. Food is the larger agent that was brought in to approach these guys. But for that to happen, there has to be permissions given. That goes up to the ODNI, Officer Director of National Intelligence. It goes to the Secretary of State, and that probably goes to the President. It's like I said in Fast and Furious. They're trying to make you believe that a couple ATF supervisors at DEA in Phoenix said, hey, you want to do an international covert gun running operation? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing anything else before lunch. Yeah, let's do that. That stuff gets, I've worked that. I've worked SARCs, Special Activity Review Committee. I've worked covert operations in intelligence, law enforcement, military. It's not that easy. And most of them get canceled. This is a big deal. Before I go any further, I'm up on a hard break here, and let me talk about Diamondback one more time. Diamondback, my go-to gun store, where Doug and his crew have been serving the needs of community for 20 years. They're open 7 days a week and offer law enforcement and military discounts. Diamondback is a leading retailer of silencers and other Class 3 products, and even have fingerprinting services and are an always open e-commerce store. They're one of Tucson's most experienced and knowledgeable instructors is there, Ben. Diamondback offers a variety of firearms training classes from basic to advanced. Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338 for all your shooting needs. Diamondback Shooting Sports. And this is the Prather Point with Jeff Prather. I'll be right back with you in the Perfection Auto Works studios. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point back with you. So I was talking to somebody and they were saying, oh, you know, you're not quoting a lot of sources. I say, look it up. But okay, John Solomon of The Hill. So Kathleen Kavelic, who is with the Department of State, was briefed by Steele before, about 10 days, 2 weeks before the dossier went to the FBI. And he said that payments are being made out of the Russian consulate in Miami. And she's Secretary of State. She goes, there is no Russian consulate in Miami. So the lies are ridiculous. She passed these notes on to the FBI. That means Comey, who signed off on the first FISA warrant, suborned perjury in the FISA warrant. That's why I'm saying he's the first to go down, and a lot more are going to go down. But it's certain that they knew that the FISA warrant was phony. But they also said, he also said that Russians had somebody inside the DNC, and that I'm certainly believing. And also, the Russians had somebody in Ukraine. I've talked about that in a lot of detail. So every week we see more and more coming out showing how phony the dossier was and how phony the FBI were. Her type memo says the Russians have succeeded in placing an agent inside the DNC. Of course, we know that there's been all kinds of leaks in there before, but this is a new revelation. But I want to get into what no one else is telling you, and that is the whole Mueller dossier is phony. So the second part, of course, volume two is obstruction, and he lists a whole bunch of reasons. I've done a deep dive on that. I'm even hearing Fox News say deep dives. I'm hearing all this stuff go mainstream. I'm sure it's not all because of me, but I think it's partly because of me and because of other real news patriots out there. Dan Bongino is certainly one. Real important. And Tony Schaefer he worked at DIA as well. But so the big thing that starts this is Mueller saying in his report that the Russians hacked the DNC. And that is not true. So the FBI and the CIA are backing up this claim that the DNC emails published by WikiLeaks, remember Julian Assange has been arrested now, via a Russian hack. But there is no evidence. So I still work in, I do a lot of competitive intelligence, corporate security work, and a lot of cyber work. And there's a ton of traces. I was talking about this a little bit last time, but there is no available forensic evidence to support this claim. In fact, the available forensic evidence contradicts the official account that blames the leak of the DNC emails on Russian internet intrusions. The evidence shows that the files taken from the DNC between 23rd and 25 May 2016 were copied onto a file storage device such as a thumb drive, thumbstick. If the Russians actually had conducted an internet-based hack of the DNC computer network, then the evidence of such an attack would have been collected and stored by the National Security Agency, NSA. So I've done a lot of work with the NSA. I've trained a lot of NSA guys. I've been inside the NSA. I got a director's coin. You know, when I have parties at my house, I have a whole ton of coins of units I've trained and to work with. The technical systems to accomplish this task have been in place since 2002. The NSA had an opportunity to make it clear that there was irrefutable proof of Russian meddling, particularly with regard to the DNC hack, when it signed on to the January 27th intelligence community assessment regarding Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This is what all the leftists are always quoting. The intelligence community totally agrees that the Russians hacked our election. That is their mantra now. So we also assess Putin and the Russian government aspired to help President-elect Trump's election chances when possibly by discrediting Secretary Clinton and publicly contrasting her unfavorably to him. All three agencies agree with this judgment. CIA and FBI have high confidence in this judgment. NSA has moderate confidence. So let me tell you, folks, so I've done a lot of intelligence report. Another problem with this is, because I've worked this issue a lot too, because I was dual credentialed as an intelligence officer and a federal law enforcement officer, is evidence has to come out in court. Intelligence, you never want it to come out in court because it's got sources and methods. And so that's always a problem. And that was early on a problem in the drug war back, and which is really why I was dual credentialed a long time ago. But in the intelligence community, we say we have high confidence, low confidence, moderate confidence. And so CIA and FBI have high confidence. Well, that was Brennan, the communist, who's now virulently anti-Trump. And FBI, that was Comey, virulently anti-Trump and a proven liar, both of them. NSA, which is the bigger, much bigger agency than both, by the way, and that was Admiral Will Rogers. That's the guy who comes to Trump Tower and says, hey, they're spying on you because he saw all these things coming through. Has moderate confidence. So these are politicians. They don't say low, but they're saying, oh, we're not so sure about that. Moderate confidence means we have no hard evidence. Thanks to the leaks by Edward Snowden, We know with certainty that the NSA had the capability to examine and analyze DNC emails. NSA routinely vacuumed up email traffic transiting the U.S. using robust collection systems. Whether or not anyone in the NSA chose to look at this data is another question. If those emails had been hijacked over the internet, then NSA would have been able to track the electronic path they traveled over the internet. Folks, I've done this myself. I've worked on all these systems. This is absolutely true. In fact, I believe the NSA's got all of Hillary's emails too. And of course, some of those emails went to Obama. But this is highly, highly significant. The NSA should either be able to say yes or no, just like Mueller should have been able to say yes or no. Instead, they're just trying to go along, be a politician. Instead, the NSA only claimed to have moderate confidence in the judgment regarding Russian meddling. If the NSA had hard evidence to support the judgment, the conclusion would have been stated as full confidence or high confidence. These are terms that we use. Mueller knew that indicting 12 Russian GRU, the military version of the KGB, KGB's gone, and an identity identified as Guccifer for the DNC hack was not an issue because you're never going to get those guys. Although supposedly Guccifer is in jail, although he may be dead, he supposedly has been moved. But according to the DOJ press release on the indictment of the Russians, Mueller declares that the emails were obtained via a spear phishing attack. In 2016, officials in Unit 26165 began spear phishing volunteers and employees of the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton, including the campaign's chairman. Through that process, officials in this unit were able to steal the usernames and passwords for numerous individuals and use those credentials to steal email content and hack into other computers. They also were able to hack into the computer networks of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the Democratic National Committee through these spear phishing techniques to steal emails and documents, covertly monitor the computer activity of dozens of employees, and implant hundreds of files of malicious computer code to steal passwords and maintain access to these systems. Folks, that's simply not true. So what they're saying is, you click on a spear phishing. Everybody gets these spear phishings. Hey, click on this, right? Everybody knows. I mean, you know, I think everybody's grandma knows. Don't click on spear phishing. But they're saying that these guys were so stupid, and maybe they are, because the Dems are pretty stupid at this point on the left. But by clicking on one of those things, they're saying they were able to get all this download of all this stuff. That's not what the evidence shows. The metadata does not show that. The evidence clearly shows that the emails posted on WikiLeaks were copied onto an electronic media, CD-ROM, thumb drive, stick, before they were posted to WikiLeaks. And that's how spying's done today, by the way, folks. And I still do that. I do corporate security and competitive intelligence. And I'm pretty up on this. I'm not a cyber guy, but I have folks who are. And they're great, in case you guys or gals are listening. The emails posted on WikiLeaks were saved using the file allocation table, FAT, computer file system architecture. An examination of the WikiLeaks DNC files show they were created on 23rd, 25th, and 26th May. How do we know? The truth lies in the last modified timestamps on the WikiLeaks files. Every single one of these timestamps end in even numbers. So the FAT file system, you need to understand that when a date is stored, the date rounds the time to the nearest even-numbered second. 500 DNC email files stored on WikiLeaks, and all 500 file ends in an even number, 2, 4, 6, 8, or 0. If a system other than a FAT had been used, there would have been an equal probability of the timestamp ending with an odd number, but that is not the case with the data stored on the WikiLeaks site. All end in an even number. The DNC emails are in three batches. The random probability that FAT was not used is 1 chance to 2 to the 500th power. 1 chance in 10 to the 150th power. In other words, an infinitely high order of improbability. This does not prove that the emails were copied at DNC headquarters, but it does show that the data emails posted by WikiLeaks did go through a storage device before they were posted. This fact alone is enough to raise reasonable doubts about Mueller's indictment accusing 12 Russian soldiers as the culprits. This is really significant, folks, because I'm proving to you right now that what Mueller says for the basis of the investigation in his report is a lie. The Mueller report is a lie, is what I'm saying. And I'll tell you more that'll blow your mind even more right after this next break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, right back with you for the final segment. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, back with you for the final segment. A lot of stuff to still get to. So in the intelligence business, everybody has a tech shop. Sometimes it's called Toys R Us Q, and it's where all the neat, you know, Q like in James Bond. It's a neat shop, and it's fun to go into, I got to tell you, to see all the neat stuff they're doing. So Bill Binney, a former technical director of the National Security Agency, he's the tech guy, along with other former intelligence community experts, examined emails posted by Guccifer 2.0, discovered that those emails could not have been downloaded over the internet as a result of a spear phishing attack. It's a simple matter of mathematics and physics. Shortly after WikiLeaks announced that he had the DNC emails, Guccifer 2.0 emerged claiming that he had hacked the DNC and then he had the DNC emails. Taking Guccifer 2.0 at face value that his documents were obtained via an internet attack, Bill Binney conducted a forensic examination of the metadata contained in the posted documents. Do a right click, folks, on all this stuff, and you'll see some of the metadata. But there's other ways to do even more. This analysis showed that the highest transfer rate was 49.1 megabytes per second, which is much faster than possible from a remote online connection. The 49.1 megabyte speeds coincides with the download rate of a thumb drive. So the experts are saying it could not have happened that way. So the top secret information leaked by Edward Snowden, if the DNC emails had been hacked via spear phishing, as alleged by Mueller, but he's not even say alleged, he says that's how it happened, then the data would have been captured by the NSA by means of the upstream program. And the forensic evidence would not modify times. And don't you think, folks, he would have put it in the report? Because that would have strengthened the case. I already told you that Mueller is a Clinton guy from way back. We've done deep dives on that. So, but there's even more, because what does the FBI say about the hack? Well, that's real interesting, because the DNC claims it became aware of its servers had been penetrated on 29 April 2016. According to CrowdStrike founder Dmitry Alpernov, his company first detected the Russians mucking around inside the DNC server on 6 May. And they identified a couple Russian intruders. A cozy bear is one. Fancy bear. Those are fronts for GRU, for Russian military intelligence. And so what did this? And CrowdStrike was the one handling the DNC server. What'd they do about this? Nothing. They did nothing. So this makes no sense, folks. Because I do this all the time. You got to protect entities with cybersecurity. They did nothing. We know from examining the WikiLeaks data that the last message copied from the DNC network is dated 25 May 2016. No DNC emails were taken and released to WikiLeaks after that date. CrowdStrike waited until 10 June 2016 to take concrete steps to clean up the DNC network. Ultimately, the teams decided it was necessary to replace the software on every computer. Oh, they're replacing software. Somebody else was doing that. Clinton. She was doing that with bleach and hammers. In the intelligence business, we look for patterns. You guys starting to see the pattern here? Why does a cybersecurity company wait 45 days after allegedly uncovering a massive Russian attack on the DNC server? I've done that for companies I've worked for, and I do it in a matter of hours. It's very important. So it's because it's not real and they're trying to figure something out. But that's not the most interesting part, folks. The real interesting part is, and this came out, but you got to remember it, is the DNC never provided the FBI access to its servers in order for qualified FBI technicians to conduct a thorough forensic examination. In fact, they turned them down, if you recall. They would not let the FBI look at their servers. Well, if the Russians have hacked, and that's the mantra, then and the FBI is great, and Comey and Stroke are great, then why not let them look? Mueller has no proof in his report that the Russians hacked via spear phishing attack. None whatsoever. He just assumes it. And he could have, if there was proof, he could get it and it'd be the NSA. And I've told you before, and I can't say too much, there's an unholy alliance between the NSA and the DOJ. But anyway, Mark, you're calling in. Glad to hear from you again. You're on the line.
Yes, fascinating new stuff, again, as usual, from you. You come out with the best news. Anyway,
thank you.
Wasn't it Shifty Schiff, the one who was accused of the accidental, what do you call it, clickbait that caused the the hackers to get in? Isn't that what they have been saying?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, which one it was.
It was somebody in there. They're saying that he's the guy that allowed the intruder into, you know, capture that data. Also, is there any more news on what happened to Seth Rich, the murder of Seth Rich?
Ah, you perfect, Mark. That's exactly where I'm going next. That is excellent. Because, yeah, it wasn't a spearfishing attack. It was Seth Rich. I believe it was Seth Rich who got disenchanted with the DNC, and he took that stuff and leaked it. And then he was found murdered. He's like 45th on the Clinton murder trail. Remember, I said, who could do this? Could the Russians, could the Chinese? Certainly not some Arkansas state troopers, but who has assassination squads that could support them? Because I'm saying that they've been tied in with foreign powers for a long time. Julian Assange once gave an interview to a Dutch television station in which he discussed the Seth Rich murder case. He would not confirm or deny that there was a source, but they offered $20,000 reward for an answer to the murder, which has never been found. And he said a lot of the guys put themselves at risk for us. So the whole thing is falling apart completely. And the dossier, the Mueller dossier, is a phony dossier on the dossier, which is about a phony investigation in the first place. But I see I have my first and most loyal sponsor here on. Mike, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Jeff. I appreciate your time, and always I love your program and love the station. You know, I'm getting kind of tired of this Comey and Mueller and the Trump thing. I'm so sick of it that I'm calling to ask if there is anything relevant to talk about besides this particular subject. I mean, I'm so done with this thing on the hibachi. You can just turn me over because I'm about ready to bust. I mean, we constantly are hearing this stuff in the news. My question to you, and this is the reason why I called, is this relevant to our republic coming undone with what you're talking about and how Washington keeps going after Trump? What is the relevancy? And I respect your opinion greatly, but are you not sick of this entire situation and the money that's been spent? And cannot we speak about how worthless the governor is in this state that continues to steal from us blind? I want to talk about something different. So, Jeff, I'm calling. I'm asking you to please tell me, why is this story relevant to our republic? And I'll listen on air. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. So I think you express the public's view is they're done, no obstruction, no collusion, but the Dems are still pursuing this. And the reason it is so relevant is because this is the first time in the history of our republic that the intelligence community, and that's going to come out more, and the Department of Justice have tried to hold a coup on the duly elected president of the United States. And that's why this is so important, and it's so important to go into the details. And this is going to, and what I'm saying is, it's really not about Trump. It's about the destruction of the Democratic Party that has bought into the far left, because every communist conspiracy has to go on a script and it falls apart. And then you get Venezuela or you get Russia. That's why it's so important. And that's why I feel duty bound to put out what I know about this to be true, because other intelligence and federal law enforcement professionals know this to be true. And they're telling me all the time that this is really important to go out. And I will get to other stuff, but I got to put out what I believe to be the most important stuff. I also talked about H.R. 5 as a terrible bill. I've talked about unplanned and abortion stuff too, but it is totally relevant because I say, and I've been saying it for years now, our republic has fallen. but the revolution has begun. And the revolution is really patriots in the intelligence and military community, Q and everything, that are leaking this stuff to overcome. And we're starting to see the left-wing education, federal law enforcement, and intelligence crumble and disintegrate, that we will get our republic back because it has fallen. And that's why it's so important. And that's why I'm not going to stop talking about it, but I'm going to keep telling you the truth. But I appreciate the call and the frustration. And tell your representatives, your congressmen and senators, how frustrated you are. And we want to see action. But the government's going to move slowly and Barr's going to move very methodically. But I appreciate your frustration and your passion. I feel the same way. But the law enforcement and judicial process is going to go real slow and real careful. But hopefully, we will get our republic back. This is Jeff Prather. Happy Mother's Day. God bless. Keep the faith. Hang in there. And I will see you next week on the Prather Point.